Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Yeah, we just had Thanksgiving Day, so I'm sure we are glad that we can be here this morning. We are glad to also have you here with us. And today's service kind of special, I want to just invite you to take note of the announcements on the that we carry as insert as well as on the screens. There are some announcements that we don't have there. I know in our last newsletter, we mentioned to you that we were having Rich with us. Rich has been here. Every time he's here, I'm not here. So I thought I would be here today to be a part of the worship service, to just be in the pew and just having to lead the worship for us as he's always done when I'm not here. We're glad to have him. And to also have Jean, his wife, here with us too. We just want to welcome you, the both of you. Thank you for being here. Sorry? No Sunday school? Okay. All right, so the kids were sent with parents, that's good, or grandparents, that's good. I also wanted to just lift up here for us that December is just right around the corners. And what that means is busy, busy, busy people multitasking. So we have the choir is going to be doing for us Christmas, I usually say extravaganza. It's not a cantata, it's Christmas extravaganza. Yeah. A program, all right, that's fine too. That's fine. Methodists are very good at big words, you know. So, and then we have the kids program coming up too, Christmas program coming up too. I know Carol will need some help, and that would be wonderful if we can all come together. The Christmas program is also coming up. So we have, December is going to be a very busy month for us. We would really need help. I know some of you have done this over and again, but you know what? That's ministry. As long as we are still here, we are after Christ's business. So let's do the best we can. I want to just say, for our service today, you have Mr. August, who is up there. He's going to be the liturgist. And I might just be playing a very nominal role, not much. Maybe the next time you hear me up here will be when we've lifted the offerings. And I will be telling you where the offerings will be going. There are a lot of books over there on the table, resources. Please make sure to take advantage of those. There are some specifically for women that, Jean, you wrote that? Okay, so Jean ordered a book that is on the table over there, and it's been placed within the general church's list of books for women. So maybe that's a very good resource you want to take advantage of. Just stop by after service to take a look at those. Our discernment team, those of you that have volunteered to be a part of the five, I don't want to say five men, but the five people, five persons team, I want us to, if it is possible for us to meet next week. It's just, I know December is coming, everybody is kind of busy, but let's have our preliminary meeting and see where we go from there. And I want us to meet on Tuesday evening at 6 here. If it works for you, that would be fine. If it doesn't work, please let me know. We can communicate on through email and see what day will work for all of us. But I want us to meet on Tuesday at 6 p.m. if it works for everybody. Again, thank you. I'm going to talk a little bit before we lift our offerings this morning. Otherwise, let me just turn the mic over to August to begin with his court worship.
Welcome, friends. Pastor Jakes, thank you for such a nice welcome. I just realized the choir doesn't have any shakers, so would somebody be willing to just bring up? Thank you, Jamie. All right. Is it okay if we have some fun this morning?
Sure.
Awesome. Good. So we'll invite you to try some fun things. You like somebody? We have shakers and we have drums. And come on along with us if you'd like to experiment a little bit today. If, on the other hand, you want to do things the way you normally do, that's fine. We just want you to, our prayer is that you'll feel the presence of a living God in this place. Does that sound good? All right. Miss Nancy, could you give us an E here on this song? Here's how this song goes. Let me just sing it through once for you and then jump in and we'll do the first one twice. It goes like this. Because come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise the Lord. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Nice. Come now and praise the Lord. That's the same melody in each verse. And if you want to add a little bit of your body to it, here's what I would recommend. Just hit your thighs and then snap. Try that with me, ready? Thighs, and then snap. You might want to set down your bullets on those thighs, and then the snap. Good. And here's your notes. Let's try it together with the piano. Come all ye people, come and praise your maker. Come all ye people, come and praise the Lord. Come all ye people, come and praise your maker. Sound good. Come now and praise the Lord. That last line goes like this. Goes come now and praise the Lord. Good. Let's try it with Christ Jesus. Come all ye people, come and praise Christ Jesus. Come all ye people, come and praise the Lord. Come all ye people, come and praise Christ Jesus. Come now and praise the Lord. We're going to go up a half step for this one. The Holy Spirit. Come all ye people, praise the Holy Spirit. Come all. What man you're going to point to on brother, and what woman you're going to point to on sister, and point to them when you say it, okay? And then we'll do a brother twice. Got it ready? Here we go. Come now, my brother, come and praise our neighbor. Sister, now come now, my sister, come and praise the Lord. Ustedes. Alaba. Is you too soon. All right. For our Hispanic neighbors that God may send to us, let's get ready to practice, okay? Two. One, two. Here we go. Do the best you can. Venga, ustedes. Alaba, Jesus Cristo. Venga, ustedes. Alaba, Jesus Cristo. Venga, ustedes. Alaba Jesus Cristo, de la de gloria Dios. All right, wonderful. How about if we do it in English one more time, but a little bit faster, right?
too.
The faith we sang, we're shifting drums here, you guys. All right. Jakes, are you going to play? Where did Jakes go? Okay. If he comes back, this is for young Jakes. All right. Well, if you looked ahead in the bulletin, you probably noticed that the sermon theme is on deep hungers. And today, in our scriptures, we're going to be thinking about what are the deep hungers that I have? And in some cases, are they carrying me away from my mission in life? Jakes, we've got a drum for you. Okay. So this song, this great hymn, is a confessional. It's a very honest hymn about, I think, some of the things that I struggle with, and perhaps you do as well. Have you done Come Thou Fount before? All right, this is like, on this song, you got a shaker? Let's grab your shaker. What I would suggest is, can I have one of those for a second? Okay. Yeah, I would just go like on the beat the whole time, and then when you hit the bold text, that larger font, go double time, like this. Teach me some melodious song, some angel comes upon the back of the simple human life, fixed upon it, out of thy leading Lord. All right. Lord, hear us as we sing now. Come thou for a lot of reasons. but it came from just a small fragment written on a concentration camp wall. And I was in a public school doing a program in Lanark, Illinois, and as I left the school, I saw this poster with this quote, and it stopped me dead in my tracks. So I wanted to show you this quote. Gene, can we show them, can we read this together? I believe
in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in love, even when I can't feel it. I believe in God, even when God is silent.
Can you believe that? When I read that, I thought, I don't know if I could say that. You know, if I was in a concentration camp cell, probably praying like crazy and nothing would happen. I'm sure for a long, long time, we don't know if anybody ever came to rescue me for this person. But I thought, I would like to have that kind of faith. And sometimes I've actually sort of felt a little bit like this, where I feel like I'm reaching out to God and I'm not necessarily feeling anything coming back. I'm feeling very alone in my prayers. I don't know if you can relate to that. During those times, I don't know what to do but keep on praying and asking God to help give me faith until I feel the presence of God again. Are there any veterans here who have served in the armed services for our country? Can I just invite you, servants, to stand up so we can thank you, that we can sing this song and we can live in the land of freedom? Can we just...
Thank you. Amber.
You say good morning, Amber?
Morning, Amber.
We're glad you're here.
Becca.
Good morning, Becca.
Who's here?
Jake.
Hi, Jake.
How is it?
Who's this young fella here?
August.
Adam.
Okay.
Eve.
All right. Good. Can you look at me this way? Okay, look at this. We had Adam, the first dad, and then Eve, the first mom. And they had kids, Cain and Abel, and they had some daughters. We don't know their names. And those kids had kids. And those kids had kids. Guess what happened? After a while, we came along. Those kids had to have kids, and all of a sudden, we were here. You know what that means? It means that you and I are not just cousins, but brothers and sisters. Yes.
Yeah.
guys standing up, all right? That would make for a good idea. So I wrote a song. It goes like this. Can you hum? Can you whistle? Can you go? All of us.
Beans are family.
You got it. All right. Then in this song, Gene, can we take it way down to the bridge? And I wanted to practice the rap. You guys like the rap? How many of you are reading? You love reading? All right. So where it says, it's called the chant. Can we all do this together? And what would be nice is if we start kind of soft, it would be louder and louder. So try it with me, like, together. Ready? Let's Lincoln, Ford, Taft, and Harry Truman, all together. This we know. Chopin, all together. Bach, Stravinsky, even adults. This we know. German, Mexican, Canadian, Cuban. This we know. Louder now. You, him, Velasquez, Newman. This we know. Choir's got shaker, right? All right. Here we go. Let's try that chorus together. Thank you. us to see a sister.
Help us to see a sister.
Or a brother.
Or a brother.
Not a stranger.
Not a stranger.
Because we are one family.
Because we are one family.
You are our God.
You are our God.
Amen.
Amen.
Can we say thanks to the kids for their participation?
Now I am found. I Good morning. This morning's scriptures are going to be in unison. I'm going to say a line, then you'll have a line after me. So please bear in mind. First scripture comes from Matthew 4, 1 through 4. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, not on bread alone, but on every word of God." Is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength.
These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts.
Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up.
Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads.
Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land of large, flourishing cities you did not build.
Houses filled with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied,
be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Marcus. Jeannie, do you mind if we go back to the gospel now for a moment? And friends, what I wanted to invite you to do this morning was have a conversation with each other, with me, about this scripture. And to begin with, I don't know if you noticed, we did in Matthew 4, we looked at the first temptation. So can we go up to the gospel there? And I thought this would be really good for me to be thinking about right after Thanksgiving. Because how many of you overdid it at Thanksgiving? Yeah. You know, and so the message is called Deep Hungers. And we all thought we were hungry for Thanksgiving dinner, right? About half of us probably ate more than we wanted to. And so this morning, I just wanted to kind of step back and say, you know, what are the deep hungers inside of me? And which of these might actually be carrying me away from my purpose that God has put me on earth to do? And perhaps the most important scripture here, that last one in this verse, can we read verse 4 together? We shall not live on bread. And just to review, Jesus has been in the wilderness how long now? Yeah, and then who shows up?
Satan.
Yeah, Satan shows up. And the temptation is to turn these stones into bread, right? And I'm thinking, you know, if I could fast 40 hours, you know, if that was my goal, or in Jesus' case, this was kind of like boot camp. If he went 40 days, and he was done fasting, right? This is the end of 40 days. What would be wrong with having a little bread? You know, so would you do me a favor now and just get next to somebody in groups of two or three and just put your heads together and come up with some reasons why you think, there's probably more than one, why do you think Jesus said no to bread after 40 days? Why did he say no? Because the temptation is really over on it at this point, you know, the 40 days. What would be wrong with having some bread? Okay, it's okay to talk, maybe groups of two or three. We'll come back together and hear what you came up with in 30 seconds. Thank you.
at the time, all right? And Satan wanted him to be distracted and do something other than what the Father wanted him to do at the time. He wanted him to, you know, and he questioned if you're the Son of God. So he wanted him to have to prove something to him. He didn't have to prove anything to Satan. And, you know, he to me, Satan wanted him to be prideful and say, well, yes, I am, and look at I can do this. He already knew what he can do, and he was doing what the Father told him to do, not what Satan told him to do. It's all because of Satan wanting him to show, wanting Jesus to show pride, be prideful, and that's not what the Father wanted. That's kind of like what I see.
Well, as a good answer that Jesus gave to the devil, man cannot live by bread alone, because he wanted to obey his Father instead of devil.
Seven of them. You know, and these are the hungers that Jesus might have had also.
God and he was human, right? So certainly he had all of these hungers. And one of the thoughts I had was, yes, he said no to bread and the stones, because what like Deb said, you know, it was Satan. You just don't want to, like Nancy said, it was God's plan for him not to, to follow God's plan and not anybody else's, right? But I'm also wondering, if he said no to bread, because this was boot camp, like 40 days, I'm wondering if he said no because if he couldn't say no to bread, what else could he say no to? Any of these things, yeah, all this, or status. You know, what if, like, remember what Peter said, Jesus, you don't want to go to Jerusalem, you're going to get killed. We want you to be famous, right? And Jesus said, no, that's, get behind me, Peter. That's not God talking. Or like, for me, I know in our family, we always ate more than we needed in our house. The Rubiettas, all the people I know named Rubietta would fess up to that. And have you ever heard that saying, we should eat to live and not live to eat? Yeah. I don't know about you, but there was a period when I was in seminary. Jay had just made a great dinner for us, and it was like 6 o'clock, and I ate all the food I could possibly need to study for my exams for the next day. You know, and then by 7:30, I was in the freezer and refrigerator, you know. You know, guess what I was looking for? I wasn't looking for, like, celery and hard-boiled eggs. You know what I mean? And do you think I needed any more food? There's no way I needed anything more to get through the rest of the night and wake up the next morning. And it was so bad that all I could think about was my next snack. And I was living to eat and not eating to live. And you know what? I realized I was in agony. I was a slave to my appetite. And so the only thing that helped me a little bit there, God used some support. And the question that helped me, and I don't know if this will help you, this is what we began to ask ourselves. What is the hunger underneath the parent hunger for food? What is that hunger underneath the parent hunger for ice cream? Or chocolate, whatever it is. And it was only when I began to say, what is it I'm really hungry for? And how can I satisfy that? That we became a little bit more free from this addiction to food. Substance. Food is a substance, of course, right? So I wondered if Jesus said no so that he could just be saying yes only to God's mission for him. And he didn't want to get stuck saying yes to anything else. One of the churches that Jane and I got to serve was in Joliet. And I remember, you know, on the greeting line, everybody's coming out, and there was a woman named Joan. And Joan always was dressed, it seemed like, better than anybody else, you know, in the whole congregation. And after a couple of years there, she was coming out, and I said, Joan, you always have just a wonderful dress on, and you look so nice. And she said, Pastor Rich, she pulled me out of the line, and she said, I have a confession. She said, my husband and I are not getting along. We haven't been getting along for a long time. And every time I feel sad or angry, I go over to the mall, and I buy another dress for myself. So does Joan need any more dresses in her closet? What was the hunger underneath? You know, this was one of those moments, quick for me, where I was in the wilderness, driving our green station wagon down 94 along, where, you know, like Lake Forest is and Highland Park, you know, that's called the North Shore, down by us, and this station wagon was truly the oldest car on the road, but it was nice, it was clean, it didn't have any dents or rust, and it always got us to every ministry engagement or about the ministry. Always sorted. But it was truly 20 years older than anybody else's car. Can you see what's coming? I'm driving down 94, and everybody that lives over in Lake Forest and in Highland Park is driving past me in a shiny Lexus or a green Mercedes or a red BMW, and I had this I could even call Jane and say, what do you think? Do you need a new car? I just was quiet. I don't know how God speaks to you, but when I have if I'm quiet and I listen to my thoughts, God often just gives me the answer, and it came to me. And I heard God say to me in a sense, Rich, I am not going to love you any more than I already do if you drive out of your nice little car. And I said, God, I'm so sorry. I lost sight of that. Thank you for loving me just because I'm your son. Not having anything to do with how nice my car is. So I had this moment in the wilderness on Route 94, and thank God I escaped. So anyway, what else here? We've got speed, success, substances, here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Maybe a different person, maybe turn the other direction for a second. What are our deep hungers? Here's the question. What are our deep hungers for any of these things that start with us? What are they doing to us and our ability to be disciples of Jesus Christ? What are these hungers doing to our ability to be a church and be an effective salt and leaven in this world, God's world? What are these doing to us? Go ahead and feel free to chat with somebody. Maybe a slightly different slide over to you if you need to. And we'll come back together in just a minute. It's okay to talk. Can we just come back together? So what's carrying us away and making it hard for us to be the church? Let's just hear what some of you came up with. What are these things getting in the way? If you want to share. Taking away our time, right? I forgot to mention screens. I mean, sometimes it's a remote control. Once we get it in our hands, the afternoon is gone, right? Or the evening is gone. And that's time that we might have been able to, I'm sure we need time to do that, but we can get carried away, right, by the virtual realities. Or we might have that with YouTube or the internet, right? And that's time that's lost that we can't recruit for God. Anybody else have something that they want to share? Just gets us completely focused. All of these are narcissistic, focusing on ourselves. And of course, you know, some of these things we need to do. We need to eat. We need to have some time to relax. But they can carry us away, right? And like I was sharing before, I don't want to be a slave to anything, whether it's food or a screen or whatever it is. I want to be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. So a bondservant, by the way, is somebody who is free to leave, but he said, I've enjoyed serving you so much that I want to stay here and work for pay. That was a bondservant. But what did Jesus do to fight this temptation in the temple? If we go back to that verse, Ms. Jean, know, pastors think about things like this. You know, what? Here's the question I was asking. What word might Jesus have been thinking about that was so satisfying for him that he didn't need to eat after 40 days? Is there maybe a particular word that he had in mind that was satisfying his soul? Perhaps the question for us is, what words from God or what word of God is helpful for you when you're tempted? Or when you're scared or when you're hungry? For instance, when I was driving that green car down the highway, what was it I was really hungry for when I thought I needed a new car? Yeah, and when you have status, if you think you can get status, what do you get from status? Well, if I had that new red Mercedes, what might somebody say to me?
Right.
Yeah, you are really cool driving that red car, right? And so what's the hunger behind underneath status, the hunger for status? It's the same hunger that we all have that's underneath all of those hungers, the hunger that to be loved, to be appreciated, right? And so, think about this. Did Jesus ever hear God's voice that we know of? I mean, we know he had the Word of God from the Old Testament, right? He probably had a lot of it memorized. But did he actually hear God's voice? Yeah, this is really cool, because this is Matthew 4. And what happened in Matthew 3? John baptized Jesus. And he comes out of the water, and did he hear a voice? That might be the only time that he ever heard God's voice that we know about. And what did the voice say? This is really cool. If you remember, let's say it together. Ready? This is my son, in whom I am well pleased. I don't know about you, but I did not hear my parents say, "This is my son, and we are well pleased with him," too many times. I did not hear that enough. So one of the deep hungers I have is to know that God is pleased with me. Yeah. And Jesus heard it here. Imagine how that would nourish your soul when you're about to get killed on the cross. You know, wondering if you're crazy for following this calling. And you remember, you know what God said? I'm a son and I'm a daughter. Do you believe God said that about you when you were baptized? If you haven't thought about that, today I want to invite you to just begin to imagine that this is true for the Son of God and all the sons of God and all the daughters of God. But when you and I were baptized, we had nothing to commend ourselves to God, right? We're babies. And God says, "You're my daughter, Morgan, and I'm pleased with you. You're my daughter, Esther, and I'm pleased with you." And you were baptized. Well, put any, what are, do any of you want to share a word that is helpful for you when you're tempted, that satisfies you or helps you to stay strong? Anybody have some scripture that you want to share? Nancy, you said one earlier. You said it when we were together. You said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." You said that to me. But that's right from the Bible. So what are some other scriptures that sometimes rattle through your mind? Do all things. I can bear all things through the strength. Isn't that cool? Can we say amen to that? That's going to help you get through some tough times, that word. Anybody else have another one? Phrases work. Yes, August.
Yeah, it's not a scripture, but what happened was in December 2000, I was in my truck in a semi waiting for a load down in Americus, Georgia. And I got a phone call from my wife at the time that my father had just passed away the night before. And while I was sitting in the truck, I put my arms on the steering wheel, laid my head down, and saw a vision of my mother and father standing next to each other, which my mother had passed away 25 years earlier. Talk about my faith barometer went from here to here.
And I wanted to just say a couple of things about the offerings this morning. There are two important things that we are looking at in terms of our offerings. One is the United Methodist Students, today's United Methodist Students Sunday. Of course, you have these little envelopes that we annually put in our bulletin about this time of year. And then we have this other blue sheet, half sheet, back and forth, is about rich ministry. I don't know how many of us will believe that in this country, in this time that we live, somebody can be in full-time ministry without any assurance of salary at the end of the month. And that's what he does. Full-time ministry with no salary, with no insurance or anything like that, which is something that I just want to commend Rich and Gene for. But they are touching lives, touching and transforming lives in the name of Jesus, something that some of us do and get paid. So any amount of offering that we can lift for their ministry, that would be wonderful. I think he's saying that it would be best if it is in the form of a check, but if it is not in the check form, what we want you to do, we have envelopes in the pews. If you would just put whatever cash you may have in there and just deliver it as his as a contribution to his ministry, that would be fine too. But that does not substitute for filling out this form if you are moved to do that. This is a continual support form. So, again, we worship the Lord with our presence, our prayers, our tithes. So it's about time for us to worship him with our offerings. Thank you, dear God, for being our God, the God who cares, the God who loves, the God who's forgiving and merciful, the God who is all and in all to us, for us, and with us. May you bless these offerings, tokens of our appreciation, for all that you continue to be unto us. May you bless these tokens so that they become means of outreach to your people with your grace and with your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor James, thanks again for the invitation.
You're welcome. Thank you, Rich.
Friends, before we go home, we have a really fun song to sing together. Here in Africa, one of the gifts that the church in Africa and South America has given us is rhythm.
Yeah.
And which, I don't know about you, but rhythm makes me want to move a little bit. Amber, this is a chance for you to drum, so come on back. And James, and Nikon, come on back and get your drums. We sing, the best way to remember this song on the chorus is the Trinity. So it's God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So can I just invite you to learn the chorus kind of with a spoken word? So it'd be like this. We dance, God, we praise you. Dance, Lord Jesus, we praise you. Dance, Holy Spirit, we praise you.
Yeah.
We'll serenade you, dance. God, we praise you, dance. Lord Jesus, we praise you, dance. Holy Spirit, we praise you, dance. We'll serve you all of our days. So, guess what we need to do when we're singing this? We'll keep it simple, okay? Here's what I'm going to recommend. I'm going to say right, so I'm going to write what it's our left.
Okay.
Like this. Take little steps like this. Right? Shuffle. Shuffle and try that with me, just little steps, right? Shuffle and the right and the left. If you want to add a clap at the end, right? Shuffle and the right and the left. Shuffle and the left. Good, there you go. Just on the chorus. And here's the note that you start out. Here we go. Dance.
Thank you, Rick. Wow. Beautiful. Thank you.